Inform Choice Radio, episode 576, How to Reduce Your Energy Bills and Combat Fuel Poverty, with James Somerville.
Live from Sundial House Studios, this is Informed Choice Radio. Want to make the most of your money and your life? You've come to the right place. Now, here's your host, Martin Bamford.
Energy bills are soaring, and many of us are wondering what, if anything, we can do to ease the burden. My guest today is James Somerville, Head of Business Development at Agility Eco. Agility Eco is on a mission to play a major role in eliminating fuel poverty, to deliver better outcomes for low-income and vulnerable families, and to prepare Britain's homes for net zero. They have a vision for a warm, efficient, and healthy home for everyone. By reducing energy bills through energy efficiency and helping people stay warm and well, they will be able to support the most vulnerable in society. In our conversation today, we talk about some of the government grants available to households who want to reduce their energy use, the steps to consider before installing solar panels or heat pumps, and how we can all address the cost of energy crisis. Here's my conversation with James Somerville, Head of Business Development at Agility Eco, in episode 576 of Informed Choice Radio. So, James, welcome to Informed Choice Radio. Thank you for joining us today. Perhaps you could start by telling our listeners just a little bit about you and what you do, and most importantly, what Agility Eco is all about.
Absolutely. Well, it's lovely to be here. Agility Eco is a company that supports low-income and vulnerable households to keep their homes warm, to reduce their energy bills. We give them a whole package of energy advice, energy efficiency measures, support, heating, whatever we can do to help lower their bills and take people out of fuel poverty. We don't do that by ourselves, so we're always working with partners to support our customers, whether it's energy suppliers, councils, housing associations, charities, you name it. We're working in partnership to get the best outcomes. And my job as development director is really to help build those partnerships and to support those people.
You mentioned the term fuel poverty just then. Now, clearly, rising energy prices are on everyone's minds at the moment. They're front of mind, they're in the press, etc. What impact are these rising energy prices going to have, do you think, on different groups in society? And what will it mean for the number of households that fall into that fuel poverty bracket?
Well, it's a catastrophic situation at the moment. There's no two ways about it. And energy prices are very much in the news. So people will be aware that the increase in wholesale gas prices especially has really affected people's bills and will continue throughout 2022 and 2023 and beyond. So we're looking at an age now of high prices, and many millions of UK households are really struggling, many for the first time as well. So the services that we provide, we have home energy advice, we have telephone advice. We're really getting enormous numbers of referrals into our services, lots of people calling us up, many for the first time. So there's a lot of households who've never been in the situation before, and they're not used to dealing with the debt that they've got into with their energy suppliers, some of the choices that need to be made around when to turn the heating off and on, and certainly the impact on people's, not only their finances, but things like their health and well-being. Really severe as well. So, fuel poverty, the government have different definitions of it. Some of them rely on the quality of homes that people live in. But certainly, if you just think about the amount of money that people need to spend to keep their homes warm, then certainly the number of people in fuel poverty this year is going to more than double in Britain.
It's quite a scary situation, isn't it? I mean, for individual homeowners, the ones that don't sort of fall within the remit of the services you offer, what can we do? How can we cope with these rising bills? What steps can we take on a day-to-day basis, I guess, to consume less, to waste less heat, just to really try and manage these rising bills a little bit?
Well, there's three things that everybody can do in principle to reduce the bills. The first is to reduce the price you pay for your energy. So to switch your tariff for your energy supplier. And for years, that's been something that we've helped people do. But of course, now with the increase in the price cap, the opportunity to do that is really vanished. And again, that's going to be the same for the next couple of years. So the other two things that you can do are to either increase your income or reduce the amount of energy you use. And I don't mean to be flippant with increasing income. because a lot of what we do is helping households to maximise their benefits, for example, and to claim money that they are entitled to but didn't know. And it can be a significant boost to household finances. And it can mean the difference between being in fuel poverty and being out of it. And of course, the government at the moment is trying to do that with some of the actions they're taking with the rebate on council tax and the £200 reduction in bills that will need to be paid back over 5 years. Now, they're the first to admit that that isn't going to be enough to totally counteract the very steep increasing the amount of money that we'll have to pay. But I'd encourage anybody to go online, either for yourself or someone in your family, someone you know, just Google UK benefits calculator. You'll get the government page. They've got three recognised online calculators you can use. It takes about 15, 20 minutes to fill in some details, and that'll give you an indication of whether you're likely to be eligible or not. The final thing, and this is where Agility Eco are experts, is really in reducing energy use in the home, whether it's through habits and behaviours, or whether it's changing your home so that it needs less energy through installing insulation, through energy-saving measures like light bulbs and radiator panels, or low-carbon heating systems, renewables like solar panels, all those kind of things. And our focus is really on supporting the lowest income households who are eligible for a range of grant-funded measures. So Agility Eco doesn't charge our customers a single penny. We get the money from other places, and anyone's welcome to give us a call. So our Connect for Help service, if you Google Connect for Help, then you'll get us, and you can give us a call, free phone as well. And we can talk you through what might be available in your area. Now, I did say low income and vulnerable is the focus, and unfortunately, many of the grants are, the eligibility criteria for them is relatively strict. Not our Connect for Help service, but for things like insulation and heating, it's hard to get hold of that for many households. But it might be worth considering investing in that. So we can perhaps talk a little bit about the kind of payback period for things like insulation and solar panels. And certainly with prices going up, certainly some of those calculations are changing now and making it a more attractive investment.
Yeah, if I can come on to that in a moment, because it's something that's been going through my head recently, which is, you know, if I was to, example, you know, get solar installed on the roof of our house and get a loan for it, for example, you know, what would the payback be versus the cost of borrowing, etc. But if I may come straight back to that in a moment, it was notable recently in the government's new energy strategy that things like reducing energy use, so home insulation, for example, was overlooked, I think. I mean, there was a lot of criticism that this wasn't something the government was really focused on. They were talking about building new nuclear plants, offshore wind, etc., but very little on these sort of short-term, immediate, practical measures. But there are still grants out there for that sort of thing. As you say, they're strict in criteria, but you can still get it paid for to insulate your home, for example.
Yes, I would totally agree that the lack of energy efficiency action in the energy security strategy was astonishing, because it really is the simplest thing that we as a country can do: invest more in energy efficiency and using less energy. Then we won't need to make more, whether it comes from the North Sea or from nuclear or from wind. And the government do have policies around fuel poverty and net zero. And there are funds available for insulation and low carbon heating, but it's not enough. So we've done some research that's shown that the gap in funding required to bring all fuel poor homes up to the to a good level of energy efficiency is £18 billion. So the government would need to more than double the amount of money being invested. And that's just for low income and vulnerable homes. Mm-hmm. For all homes to get to net zero, all homes, there's nearly 20 million homes that aren't energy efficient. They need some investment, whether it's from grant funding or whether it's from low cost loans or some incentives for homeowners, for landlords to invest. And the sooner that we do it, the better. Not only will we be saving money, but we'll also be saving carbon as well. So for sure, though, in terms of being able to access grant funding now, we offer advice on where homeowners and private tenants can get support from. And it's certainly out there if you know where to look.
And you mentioned net zero. Clearly, this is, you know, a government goal to achieve net zero by 2050. Is that achievable given the path we're currently on? And what sort of steps do you think that we as individuals and also the government are going to have to come up with to actually get us on track for net zero?
It is achievable if there's the will. So UK homes are responsible for around 15% of all our emissions. And heating our homes is the biggest part of our carbon footprint for the average household. And we can improve all of those homes with the technology that we have now. We don't need to invent anything new. The issues are, what's it going to cost? And do we have the workforce and the skills to achieve it? So we saw a couple of years ago where the government introduced the Green Homes Grant, which was a £2 billion fund, making money available to anybody to get improvements, low carbon improvements to their home. And that scheme didn't go very far because it was bureaucratic, it was difficult to access the funding, and it was hard to find an installer to come and do the work who was accredited to the right standard. And so an awful lot of that money just went back into the Treasury. And I think that shows that it's not just about the money, but it's also about having the skills and the coordination. And something that Agilis Eco, you know, our focus is on building those partnerships to help households. So, for example, we support Portsmouth Council on the South Coast and a number of other councils there with a programme called Warmer Homes. And that provides a really easy route in for households, for homeowners, for tenants, to go to a website, to call up a free phone number, to register their interest. And then we get them in the system, and we start asking them some questions. We start looking to survey their home and try and bring all the different opportunities that are available to them in plain English so that they know where they stand, what they can get. And we found that the economies of scale that we can generate there means that we can get hold of the installers, get hold of the kit, give them guaranteed work, and then it's much easier to find, for them to find, you know, the capacity to get the work done. So really building that kind of large scale retrofit and energy advice service is necessary, I think, for an ordinary person without an awful lot of internet research, a lot of phone calls, a bit of heartache. It's going to be difficult to really achieve the kind of improvements that you want for your home to get it to that net zero standard.
I'm going to be slightly selfish here and sort of ask questions that have been going through my mind about, you know, getting to net zero and maybe creating some more sort of sustainable energy for my own home. So I guess the main options are, you know, solar and then some sort of heat pump, whether that's ground source or air source. I think my neighbours would be pretty peed off with me if I put a big wind turbine on the roof. So I'm guessing those are the three main options. But how do people start thinking about that? You know, the cost, the payback period, what's actually practical in terms of your orientation of the house and sunlight and that sort of thing? You know, where do you start with that?
It's a really good question. So I'd actually think that I'd head and say that the best approach, the one that we take as Agilis, is what we call fabric first. So thinking about the box that you live in, what's the fabric of your property, what are the walls made out of, how are the windows looking, what's the roof like, and can you insulate the property? Because insulation is the best way to reduce bills for the long term, to keep the house warm in winter and cool in summer as well. To get good advice on that, you do need someone who knows what they're talking about. And so we, on our programs, provide a surveyor who will go out, have a good look around the property, maybe use some of their tools to have a look in the loft, in the walls, and understand the situation. Then we think about heating, and then finally we think about renewables. So once the fabric of the property is good enough for low carbon heating, be it something like a heat pump, as you said, or you know, high heat retention storage heaters. Electric heating does seem to be the future. The government's really pushing that. I know there's also another train of thought around hydrogen and green hydrogen for the future. If that's coming, then it's going to be a very long way off, and it's not something that individuals can do much about. But if your home is well insulated and you have the right space for it, then a heat pump is potentially a good investment option. Finally, with the renewables, solar panels, if you do have the right roof orientation, so if it's pointing somewhere towards the south or the east or the west, not north, then that's positive. And it's relatively easy to get panels onto roofs. It becomes much better in terms of payback if you also add a storage battery and some smart controls, because then you can suck up all the energy that your solar panels are creating. You're not going to lose any. And you can also take advantage of cheap energy prices at night as well. And we're seeing some exciting stuff, like things like electric vehicles that can get plugged into houses that can act as that kind of battery. So you're charging your electric car at night, and then you're sucking some of the energy back from it during the day when you need it. So there's going to be some great options out there. For many households, though, you will have to look at the payback. And just to go back to the start, I always say look at fabric first.
That's great advice, and probably one that I've overlooked in sort of leaping to the solution rather than sort of getting the foundation right first. So are there grants available for popping solar panels on the house, or for, as we've talked about, sort of insulating the house and for low-income families in particular? But what about if you want to get the renewables installed on your property? Is that something that's being supported yet with government grants, or will it be?
There is some funding available at the moment from the government via councils for the Home Upgrade Grant, or HUG, which some councils have taken advantage of, and we support them in doing that, in running programs. Again, there's a threshold for income. In most cases, it's around £30,000 household income. If you're earning less than that, then it may be possible to get not only renewables, but again, insulation and low carbon heating altogether. And that's what Agility UK specializes in. You know, we really like to be able to maximize the amount of stuff that we're bringing to a household to really achieve a huge hit and take people out of poverty. For higher earning households, I think the government would say, you know, that there's the opportunity to not only lower your bills through using your own electricity, but also sell the excess back to energy companies. And the payback period for solar panels has reduced dramatically as the cost of electricity has risen as well. So it's certainly something to consider. Look to get some quotes, and also look for a Trustmark accredited installer, or an MCS accredited installer. So those are the two big accreditation schemes that the government supports: Trustmark for insulation and heating, and MCS for renewables. And if your installer is registered with those, then you know, look to get several installers to come and give you a quote, and then you can do the calculations, and hopefully for many households, they'll consider it worth investing for the future.
I'm about to say, so it's that number crunching that's going to be critical, isn't it? Because particularly at the moment, with such a high set of energy bills, an expectation that the energy price cap's going to go up again in October, given the current state of wholesale markets. Yeah, I guess it comes down to then, well, how long will those high prices last for, to then try and calculate a payback period? Do you use the current high prices, or do you use some sort of average price over the last 5 to 10 years? I mean, what sort of payback periods are we talking about?
It is a bit of a finger in the air, isn't it? And we can expect, I think all of the analysis suggests that October is going to be the high watermark for the prices. And gas wholesale prices, although they're fluctuating because of the war in Ukraine, again, we can hope that, that they'll reduce as well next year. Mm. But prices aren't going to go back to the way they were even 18 months, 2 years ago. They are going to remain relatively high. And it's likely that's going to be for the next decade, or possibly longer. So in that way, I think when we might have been looking at a payback period of 15 years for solar panels, that might have halved by now. Mm. So you might be looking at 7, 8 years. And again, there might be things that you can do that can achieve quicker payback. And certainly even small things like draft-proofing your house, installing LED bulbs. Although it's not quite as sexy as getting a big piece of kit, it can still make a big difference straight away to bills and to comfort. So don't overlook those.
And I know just before we started the call, it was mentioned that you've now unlocked over £100 million of funding for your clients and partners to date around this pledge the government have made towards net zero to upgrade to low carbon heat pumps. So tell us a bit more about that particular funding and how you've helped people unlock that money.
So we, as I said, like to bring multiple funding streams together for a project like the Warmer Homes Programme going on the South Coast. And we like to work with as many partners as possible. So the government have mandated that energy suppliers need to spend money on low-income homes. And they're getting that funding from a levy on our bills. Now, there's been some discussion around that, because obviously a levy on bills is pushing bills up. And it's mostly on electricity bills. So there's been some talk as well about moving the levy from electricity to gas. However it's paid for, you know, that funding has to be spent. And trying to match the funding to households that need it can be tricky. Our speciality is to help charities and councils and other organisations that work with low-income and vulnerable households to identify those households and to understand their situation, and then to bring on board installers who are really good at their job, get the job done well, not leave a mess and leave a really great piece of kit, you know, that's going to work for many years, and bring them into the house as well. And also to involve other agencies, for example, the NHS, to ensure that households also have advice and support on other issues that they may be facing. Things, you know, that like debts and the use of food banks. Fuel poverty doesn't exist in isolation. It's part of a wider problem. So that's our big focus. And I also mentioned that councils have got some funding as well, which is really good news. So that's come from government too. And councils are also looking to support their residents too. So when you match what suppliers have got and what the councils have got, and even the government, there is one grant that's available for any household at the moment, with the government trying to promote heat pumps. So that's called the Boiler Upgrade Scheme, or BUS. Every one of these schemes is one exactly, haven't they? So BUS offers a straight £5,000 grant towards the installation of an air source heat pump. Now, that's not going to cover the full cost of the heat pump for sure, probably about half. Mm-hmm. So you've still got to find money from elsewhere. But it really, if you were thinking about installing one, if you're not on the gas network, if you're off gas and you're paying, you know, a lot for oil or LPG, or if your boiler is broken or coming to the end of its life and you're thinking about swapping, then I think that's also a really good opportunity. We've made an investment with a company called Alto Energy, who are experts in heat pumps, because we see that as being the future for many households. Mm. Perhaps not for everybody, and perhaps not straight away, but this move to electrification means that you're going to need a lot of experts and installers who know what they're doing. And if I could just say something about heat pumps as well, because I see on YouTube and on LinkedIn and in the paper, everywhere, there's a bit of a kind of a battle going on, and people saying, you know, heat pumps are great, and people also say heat pumps are rubbish. And I think everyone seems to have a different experience if they've installed one. And the difference, I think, seems to be whether a company that's installed it knew what they were doing, whether they've sized the heat pump correctly, whether they've done the heat loss calculations that are needed, whether they've worked out if new radiators and so on are needed, because it is quite a complicated bit of kit. It doesn't work in the same way as a gas boiler and radiators or the heating system. So you need a company that knows what they're doing. And if a company's just come along and banged in the heat pump and disappeared again, then it's quite likely that people will be spending more on their energy bills. And that's a real disaster, you know, that investment should have been spent wisely. Whereas if the company knows what they're doing, then it can be a fantastic improvement to a home. So I definitely say, again, make sure that you get several heat pump installers to come and talk you through what they're going to do to plan the system in your home. And then you can hopefully be assured that it's going to be a good quality system.
James, thank you. I think the key takeaway for me from this conversation is we need to seek advice from people like you that know this market, know all the factors to consider. As you just said there, you know, get it done properly, because there'd be nothing worse with there than, you know, investing in systems and then discovering they had the opposite effects of what we were trying to achieve. So seek advice from the right people. Before I let you go, James, how can we find out more about Agility Eco and the work you do? How can we get in touch?
Thank you. Well, by all means, anybody should Google Connect for help, and they can find our website and phone line, which is available to offer advice and support to anybody. Anybody can ring that up. And if you'd like to find out more about Agility Eco and the work we do with councils and other partners, then just Google Agility Eco.
Fab. I'll make sure I pop in our show notes for this episode, links to both, so our listeners can find those nice and easily. James, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Martin.
We hope you enjoyed today's show. At Informed Choice, our independent financial planners help remove stress about money by offering a clear explanation of your choices and options. We help people just like you find answers to the big financial questions, making sure you can live a meaningful life as a result. Thank you for listening. Be sure to subscribe to Informed Choice Radio to get an update each and every time a new episode is published. And if you enjoy listening to our podcast, which I hope you do, please leave us a review or a star rating. You can do that by clicking on the podcast title artwork in your favourite podcast player. You can find show notes for this episode, along with useful links, by visiting icradio.co.uk. And to find out more about Informed Choice, you can visit our website at icfp.co.uk, or you can find us on social media at Informed Choice. And thank you again, James Somerville from Agility Eco, for being our guest on the podcast today. Our editor is James Spooner, and our producers are Catherine Watts and Lauren Hopkins. Informed Choice Radio is a Bear Content production. Until next time, I'm Martin Bamford, and remember, when it comes to your money, the more you know, the faster it can grow.